Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show for, I said 85 in the actual show. I don't know if that's actually, is that true? That
sounds, I think it is. Yep.
I think that sounds correct.
Getting up there.
Yeah, we're close to, if we, let's do the math. If we keep on this, one, two, that's a lot of math. We'll probably hit 100 sometime in January-ish, I would think. Maybe, something like that. So we're on our way. We're on our way. Let's talk about that episode. Hey, Max, thanks for just making everything weird, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, it was
fun. I feel like it fit. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think it was quite as weird as Prestigitron Torbisher, but
I love it. I love being given the opportunity to go back and like talk about gnome lore and like the shout outs to the old stuff that happened. That's always really fun. So it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool to revisit that. Bit.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm sure it'll come up more as we go.
Well, I mean, that was such a cool, I'm so glad I got that polymorph.
Yeah, man, that was,
I mean,
gave us time to think. I mean, it seems silly, but mechanically it like gave us time to think about what we wanted to do.
Totally.
I was watching a clip of that moment while I was waiting for us to get rolled up with this. And yeah, I was thinking like you were right where you're like, this is it. This is my character's introduction. It's either I came on the show and I turned a god into a sloth, or I just fucking dropped the ball and I made a real ass of myself. So It's cool that I actually am really happy that it succeeded, because I think that's a way cooler result, right? To be like, hi, I'm a cool gnome and I just did this thing. And now.
Yeah. The fact that it was just like, what the? You did that? Yeah, I did that.
Well, yeah, it's also because we didn't know you existed till that spell was cast.
Yeah.
So for you guys in character, like, that was just like, okay, you're fighting a god, now it's a sloth. What is.
Right.
Hmm?
Yeah.
It was just so confusing.
Yeah, that, it was. Polymorph's a fun spell. It used to be even more broken because in. I think I had this same story maybe last time where I talked about how I had a wizard once. Oh, it's because I was talking to Zeke about how I had a character who rolled a bunch of strength and lost an arm, etc. I had a wizard once in a second edition game. And in second edition, when you polymorph someone and you kill them, they revert back to their other form and they die. They don't go back and get HP back. So we were fighting like the big bad evil guy that was built up for like 40 episodes. It was a super crazy fight, etc. I had just gotten polymorph. I casted it on them. They failed the save, and I went up and slit the duck's throat, and we won.
Do you remember?
In like a round.
Do you remember what level polymorph was?
4 or 5. It might have been 5.
Yeah. I'll look at 5.
It was so unbelievably strong. So I knew the second when you cast that, I was like, if we kill this thing,
there you go. Polymorph other.
Yeah.
So polymorph other.
They split it in range. D&D and 5.
So this is the thing. It had a range of 5 yards per level, right? Its duration was permanent.
Yes.
Jesus.
Permanent duration. Saving throw negates. Casting time of 4. They shapeshift. They have to make a system shock check to see if they survive the change. After that, they make an intelligence check to see if they retain their personality. And then they're just that thing forever.
That's what it was. She failed, the big bad evil girl failed the system shock and just died. So it was just like, boom, polymorph into a duck, dead.
Well, the system shock means that you die during the transformation. And then that's it. Because it doesn't.
She went from like a human form to a duck and just died.
That's crazy.
The DM was so pissed. He was so upset.
It's like hella for reals magic, where it's like, cool, okay, until someone casts like remove curse or whatever, they like a way to turn you back to your original form, you are a duck forever. And what's funny is that, you know, chat is always like, oh, it's so nerfed, it used to be better. But like, as a GM, I could just be like, yeah, you see a wizard, he turns you into a snail.
Yeah.
Fuck you, I guess.
Yeah.
Your character is dead.
Right, yeah, it works both ways.
You're a snail now.
Yeah.
And it's much easier for me to make like a level 19 wizard than it is for you, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the great and terrible power of magic in earlier editions. It was very, very aggressive. There were a lot of spells that could just like change your character forever instantly.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is good and sometimes is terrible and not fun. So it's a lot less swingy now than it used to be as far as that goes.
Definitely. That all being said, the fact that it was a sloth, I think, made the whole thing just like super comedic factor.
Yeah. Just right. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed that hard during a session in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Just watching Adam, like, he takes his claw up and slowly tries to swing it.
I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. My armies will swarm the earth.
I will eviscerate you all.
That's great.
Yeah.
Falls asleep.
Signals the coming of the demons.
That's the comedy in that moment, right? Is like you don't expect a sloth to be all like, I'm going to destroy the earth enraged. And so it's super fun. So thank you for that opportunity, Max. That
was great. And I was also thinking too, like, for, you know, there's so many times in D&D you have like a druid on your team and they're like, I talked to this person. I thought it was funny to try to like actually show like what you're actually seeing. Like, uh-huh. He like adopts the mannerisms of the sloth. like it's awkward. It's weird as fuck for everybody else. But for him, it's like, yeah, this is how they talk. It's through, you know, gestures and some noises here and there.
It's great. I loved it.
That's your new companion.
Yeah.
I like Shedrick. I was so worried he was going to die because every time I like a character, that seems to be the way they go.
I had the moment and I messaged Adam right afterwards because I couldn't adjust something on my character sheet. I started like adding in stuff into my attacks that I just should have done when the character was created. So I didn't have to like type out / roll, whatever, et cetera. And I was sitting there, I was adding him, and I was like, you know, now that I actually, like, finally care enough about this character that I have to roll the or add the stuff in manually, I bet you I'd die tonight. And we started that fight off, and I was just like, well,
so
here we go.
Let me talk to you about the Gug, and I never got to use any of his, like, he's got a couple of special abilities that require that he grapples someone first, and you kept him on the rope so hard that... he didn't have a chance to breathe and to do like a grapple attack. But if he grapples you, he can do a legendary action to swallow or throw you. So if he throws you, you fly 2d4 times 10 feet in the direction that he throws you. You take 2d12 plus 7 bludgeoning damage plus thrown damage if you get thrown like off a cliff or whatever. So he can pick you up and hurl you. If you're a small creature, you get thrown twice as far. Or he can swallow you. And if he swallows you, you take 3d12 plus 7 bludgeoning damage plus 2d12 acid damage at the start of every one of its turns. If you're swallowed, you're blind and restrained and just take a ton of damage. And the only way to get free is deal him 75 damage in a single turn. So he didn't get a chance to like grab and eat anybody. But if he had, one person would have just been taking 2d12 damage every turn and not been able to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
would have been rough. I think without the polymorph on Kali, I feel like we probably would have died because that soaked up about 100 HP.
Yeah.
So yeah, shapeshift tanking is absolutely a strat in 5e, right? Where you're like, either have a druid that does the thing or have someone get polymorphed and just you suddenly get 115 more hit points. So as long as you're the only thing getting hit, there's no reason to like not do that, and then everybody else is safe to do their
thing. Well, I'm also like, I'm imagining like bait and switch stuff, like just stuff in the future where it's like, oh, he's an old blind guy. Let's turn our back on him and then just like fucking morphing this giant beast in front of them.
Yeah.
And having 115 hit points felt so good.
Oh yeah. Dude, when
I have no idea how good that felt.
When I played,
unfortunately the spikes only hurt me, but whatever. You know, whatever.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. is it Moon Druid that can do the feral forms? Or not feral forms, that's World of Warcraft. The
but
is it Moon Druid?
The shapeshifting Circle of the Moon. Yeah, Circle of the Moon is the shapeshifting
druid. So Zeke, at level 3, that class, the moon class or the moon spec for Druid is like unbelievably broken if you do the right things, because you can have like, I think it's like 250 HP in a single fight
at this level.
But this level kind of
sucks. By the time you reach this level, the druid sort of tapers off, which is interesting. Like if you're like, I'm gonna play a D&D campaign, but if I'm going to play a D&D campaign and we're going to stop playing when I'm like, when we're level like 6 or 7, Moon Druid is the hacks way to win. But at about level 8, they start to taper off because monsters hit so hard. So it's like, I have 115 hit points, and it's like, punch, punch, now you have zero. So it eats it up, but it's much at a much faster rate.
Yeah. And eventually
shapeshifting and death tanking are totally things in 5e, and we saw both of those in this combat.
Yeah, I don't think we win without one the polymorph, and two without Kali just like dying and rezzing and dying and rezzing multiple times.
Yeah. Well, so one thing I thought was interesting about this fight, and had the fight gone on longer, say if there were other monsters or you were fighting multiples of this guy, his punch, punch, and then exhaustion is a thing I haven't seen anywhere else, right? Because if you get hit by that enough, you're getting disadvantage on all your attacks and saving throws, and eventually you just die, right? Five levels of exhaustion will just kill you outright.
Totally.
So there's a chance that five rounds of bad luck and this guy just punches you to death, which I thought was cool, and I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah.
That's a neat mechanism.
Yeah, for sure. It. I kept thinking that, because I didn't confirm with Dan, and I didn't want to metagame, so I didn't say anything in the actual show.
Sure.
But Dan mentioned that he could polymorph as well, and I kept thinking that he might polymorph Kalimant into the same thing, but I didn't know if you had it or not.
I didn't have a spell slot left. Okay. Otherwise, I would have.
What level 4 did you use?
Greater invisibility on the fight.
That's right.
With the eyeballs.
That's right. Okay.
Just super strong.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's definitely a viable strategy, though, to just polymorph Kalimant nonstop in future fights if he doesn't give it his eyes back.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm all for that. I love it. It's a taste of sight, but also a taste of strength that Kalimant has. I mean, because he has, minus 2 strength like checks and stuff like that. He's not a strong guy. But also, he's pretty frail as far as hit points go. I've gotten back to average because the rolls have been a little bit better because I roll my HP.
Yeah.
So like average, I've averaged out again. But I started off being like pretty frail, and to have that strength is a taste of power that is so like foreign to him.
Totally. It
felt so good just to be like, this is what Berg must feel like every day.
That's a good point.
It's like, that feels good, Berg, dude. I want more.
That's a good point, for sure.
It's also, like you were saying, it's a good bait and switch, you know, for people that just like, oh, who's this blind fool, you know, and all of a sudden we just polymorph you and you're... Blah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm sitting there tooting a tune with my beggar bowl.
It's moments like this battle, and we've had a few of these, where I really feel like the strength of D&D as a turn-based, imagination-oriented combat simulator like really works nicely. Like, it's fun to strategize, to come up with tactics, watch them succeed or fail. Like, this episode felt like watching people play like football, right? Where you're like, okay, we're gonna cut this way and I'm gonna throw the thing down. Okay, that plan didn't work, let's cut it out, let's try for the next one, let's do this plan. And like, it was cool watching that, because there's just enough RNG. The encounter felt like it was balanced nicely, and it felt like it was tense the whole time. And I think that, you know, every once in a while we get a fight like this where it's like the game really sings, which is super fun. I like being able to see that happen.
It is football season after all, so it only makes sense that we decide to.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah, I agree.
It was fun. Yeah. It was definitely a lot of fun. Dan, for you, got to flex your character a little bit more. That's a strong character, man. Just like, not speaking of RP or anything, just like build wise, that shit is fucking strong, man.
Yeah, she's very strong in melee, and she's a full spellcaster, so it's a great combo right now. I really like her.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. The AC thing in particular, you can roll. Is that on a D8?
Yeah, D8 for now. And if I get to 14, it'll be a D10.
Jesus.
It's very, very swingy because you could roll badly, but it's super cool.
Well, he rolls it frequently enough that you can if it's a 1-1 round, it could be an 8 the next round, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love having to contend with it. Like, I love being like, okay, so what's your AC going to be this round? I can't rely on being able to hit you. And it keeps the pressure off of you, which I think is super fun. Yeah.
I can use it 4 times, every short rest. So,
it's a lot.
It's like, I got to pick my moments to use it, because I can use it every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think this fight kind of highlighted the Ranger is just basically like a fucking arrow bot at some point. It's where it's just like, all right, let's keep pumping damage in and hope I roll well. And
well, this encounter, like versus a single large enemy, is one thing. When it's you're fighting a bunch of smaller enemies, it's a bit different because then you're target spotting and you're being like, okay, I can like drop one of those guys, or we can pour more damage into the main dude.
Right.
There's a little bit more of that like tactical deciding of like who you want to take shots at.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It I leveled up today, so I get level 3 spells, which will definitely influence the character a lot depending on what I choose. Mm-hmm. One of them could actually be conjure animals. So I can just summon up 8 fucking little shitty guys that all attack at once, which can be fun.
Conjure animals is fun because I had to go through working all this out in a different game. So when you cast the conjuring spells, you choose one of the following options. So you tell me I want 8 beasts of CR 1/4 or 1 CR 2 beast, and then I get to pick, right? You don't choose.
Right.
So usually I'll either roll or just pick something that seems like it'd be cool in the situation. I probably won't be like, cool, okay, so 8 reef sharks show up and they just flop around on the ground. It's a bit unpredictable.
I would love to be able to just say, Adam, we should just leave. If I take the spell, we should just leave it up to rolls every time. There's no you deciding. There's no me deciding. It's just we just roll a dice and see what happens. Because it would be great if it's just like, yep, some reef sharks show up.
Yeah, 8 CR 1/4. There's lots of CR 1/4 beasts, like draft horses, giant spiders, giant owls. Dinosaurs are all beasts too. So you can summon those velociraptors, wolves. You got lots of great options. But yeah, occasionally it might come up that you're like in an enclosed space and you get 8 pterodactyls.
Yeah.
So
be great.
Gotta deal with that.
I kind of just want to take the spell for the RNG factor of it, which will be fun. Yeah.
Because it's Yoji, the animals would be all edgy and weird and have like glowing red eyes.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Yeah. We'll put some sort of weird, crazy spin on it. Some edgelord spin for sure. And then I'll either take lightning arrow or flame arrows, so I kind of always have some magical arrows on that stuff, which would be useful since I think I'm on like how many arrows do I have left? I marked it down and now 7 left. I used 13 arrows in that fight, so
and we needed them.
Yeah, they definitely helped, but I only got 13 left. I'm gonna try to take them to someone to have them study it to see if I can recreate the process for a spell or something like that. We'll see. Anything else you guys want to talk about from the episode? We didn't really do much except it was a 4-hour fight. I hope you guys realize that.
Well, it was a 2-hour fight with 2 hours of sloth RP.
True.
It was really only like an hour of sloth RP.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun though. It was definitely fun. I think next episode will definitely be a lot more RP focused because we got to get out of here. And I got to talk with Adam about the cult, because the idea of a cult is something that I think was there, but it wasn't really like fully formed in my head yet. And I don't know if I got to figure out like where Adam wants to take it. So we'll probably have a conversation.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Apart from that, I don't really have anything else unless you guys want to bring up anything.
Nothing I can think of. It was good.
This is a fun episode.
Super excited to play Shadrick. I'm glad people seem to enjoy him.
The voice is really good. I like it.
Yeah. It's definitely like the old out of place gnome for sure. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, what'll be fun is the connection that we have now. So Shadrick is connected to the Shulin Valley. The Shulin Valley is connected to Agni and Imix. Agni and Imix are connected to Ramus and Berg. So it'll be a nice like flow through into season 5B when we get there.
And if I think I picked up on this correct, you mentioned that there's a magical like anvil or forge or something, and if I remember correctly, that's what Berg and Ramus are sent to destroy or something like that.
It's Imix. Yeah, originally it's Imix's son, Agni's brother, who was captured by the rock gnomes, who I guess now works for Emperor Presnigitron, first of his name.
I should reach out to Sean and just be like, hey, you want to join us for a bullshit
episode? That would be cool.
Yeah.
I know the fans would like it. That'd be cool.
If he wants to do like a one shot or something, everybody could just make gnomes and we could have a like going on a quest with Emperor Persnigitron and his company of honor guards. If everybody wants to just do like a gnome one shot, I'm super down.
Now that we've put that out there, we'll probably never deliver on it, and it'll just always be, "Hey, you guys should do that gnome one shot," and it's never happened.
So. Yeah. But you know what? That's cool. We got to keep them wanting more.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Exactly. Once again, shout out to Barry for all the help. Yeah, dude. There's still some stuff that obviously we got to work on. Most of it, though, like it's all fixed. We're going to add in a couple things, too, when it comes to like text rolls on flavor, or like text flavor on weapon rolls. Like whenever Kalimat would roll his the dagger. It just is like, what the fuck is all this information I did? Yeah. So that's being
there's
fixed.
There's a lot going on.
But the cool thing was that we were able to swap tokens on the fly, and that actually worked for the most part.
That was super cool. Yeah. Cause it pulls based on what token is assigned to you. Right. So being able to assign a shapeshifted form and then just shuffle around the stats a little. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. It was cool to see that stuff. Especially on the fly. Cause I was like, Barry, is this going to work? He's like, it might break everything, but just see what happens when you press the button. So I pressed the button and some shit changed, and it worked for the most part. So
yeah, let's wing it and see what happens.
Yeah. It's always cool with that stuff, but that's going to do it for our patron episode. Patrons, don't forget, you can go to me.jp/merch and save 15% on that stuff. And as always, thank you for your support. Once all the TriCaster stuff gets here as well, I'll probably make a video for it. Just to show you what it comes in, I guess. I don't know. It's a lot of equipment, and I want you guys to see kind of what you're paying for. And also, I think me and Adam still need to do a revamp video sort of for the Patreon stuff, because it's been 2 years. So look forward to that. Mm-hmm. We got to figure out when we're going to do it, but we'll let you know. And also a Q&A whenever that gets figured out. Me and Adam basically just need to sit down and chat.
Got some stuff to do. Yeah,
for sure. That's it though. We'll see you next time. Have a good one. Thanks for all your support. Bye.